Greetings, everybody. I hope everybody is fine there. And it's been a long time since I shared a new podcast, a new bunch of knowledge with you. But I was very busy with my personal preparation also. So today, from my mixed bag, I have a very great and concise podcast for you guys. That is vasculitis. Vasculitis is a very important topic clinically as well as from the exam point of view. So what are we going to do today is we are going to discuss vasculitis in a very short but very, very important points which are important for us to solve the questions as well as to clinch the diagnosis when we see a patient, right? So when I talk about vasculitis, it is classified into two major ways of classification. One is immunologically mediated or the pathological aspect, and second one is on the basis of size. So on the basis of size, it is small, medium and large, and on the basis of pathological, it is T cell mediated granuloma, antibody complex and immune complex. Okay, so let's move ahead. What I'm going to do is I'm going to discuss one by one all the pathologies, and then we are going to club all these pathologies in the list I'm talking about. Okay, so let me start with the first and very foremost important topic, that is giant cell arteritis, also called as temporal arteritis, also called as T cell arteritis, right? So giant cell arteritis involves the larger vessels and mainly involves a temporal artery. Branches of carotid artery are majorly involved. It involves the carotid majorly, okay? So that means if I talk about the artery involvement, it's going to be in the area of neck and above. So it has nothing to do below the neck. So what is going to happen is on the long standing, what happens is the formation of granuloma forms in that particular vessel which is involved and causing the obstruction of the vessel. The most common out of all is superficial temporal artery, and that is okay if it is superficial temporal artery because the patient is not going to have a big much symptoms. But if I talk in the deeper aspect, superficial temporal artery is the one which is going to give off the branch, that is ophthalmic artery, responsible for the eye, which is an end artery with no collaterals, right? So if I talk about that particular thing, it is a very dreadful complication. That means if at one fine day, if the ophthalmic artery goes away, what is going to be the consequence? The patient is going to be blind, that is forever. That is not going to be temporary or something, right? So apart from this, what are the other complications or other symptoms patient will have? Patient will have jaw claudication, jaw pain, all right? These are something. Diplopia can be seen, headache is something very prominent symptoms. And it is worse while sleeping supine. And generally what happens is the headache gets worse after sleeping, right? When you get up from the sleep, it gets worse. And paresthesia, all that thing, all right? So this is very important to talk about. When I move ahead, the other things, it can be anorexia, patient might have weight loss and everything. But the important feature, apart from all these things we have talked about, it is polymyalgia rheumatica, that is back pain. That is very prominent. Shoulder side, girdle side, that area is very much involved. Okay, so when I go for the investigations, ESR is going to be amazingly elevated. And if we are suspecting any sort of temporal arteritis in any patient, the spectrum is going to be above 50 years of age, 45-50, and generally it is females, right? And when examining physically, we'll see a temporal site of a cord-like lesion, dense, stiff cord-like lesion, which is easily palpable. So if we are suggesting or if we are suspecting of any sort of this sort of diagnosis, it can be confirmed with the help of biopsy. But before biopsy, let me tell you, we are not supposed to wait here for the result of biopsy, that because by the time the results come, patient who are at the stage of impending blindness might land into blindness, and then there is no use of giving any sort of treatment, right? So it's better to start treatment before you get to the result. Okay, if the diagnosis is negative or it's not regarding to what we thought, we can change the medications, all right? So the first and foremost thing is to start on steroids. That is very important to revive the things which we have, which are important for the patient, right? So this was about giant cell arteritis. So what did we see? Females, 50 years, carotids, back pain, jaw claudication, blindness, T-cell granuloma formation, skipped lesions, and that's why we need a large section of our artery sample. Okay, now let's move ahead for the Takayasu arteritis. Takayasu arteritis, it is similar to this particular giant cell arteritis. But some clinching things will change into the clinical presentation. No pulse, because why pulses are not, it is also called as pulseless diseases, generally seen in females of 18, 20, 22 years of age, alright. They might come you with the problems of menstrual problem, and while getting up the physical examination, you can find that okay, the female is without any sort of pulse feeling or something. Okay, and what the involvement we are going to see is the branches of arch of aorta, that is, or the branches of aorta. Okay, this is the main findings we are going to find, that these main arteries are involved, out of which the most common is subclavian. Subclavian artery is most commonly involved, and the least one is coronary. That means they kept the heart a bit safe. All right, so here the gold standard is or aortography. Rest all things are same. The prognosis is very poor. If we are positive with the diagnosis, the patient has to go angioplasty, and since it is a sort of immunological disease, so it will keep on recurring, and all these things are going to happen. So immunosuppression, and if surgery is required, we're going to go for aortoplasty, which is a sort of palliation thing, right? Let's talk about let's move ahead and let's talk about Kawasaki. So what we have discussed, giant cell was for 50s, okay. Giant cell was for 50s, pulseless is for 20s, and when I talk about Kawasaki is for 5, all right. So it is a very important disorder, very specific and very important in the children's spectrum of generally 5 and less than 5 years of age. Okay, males are more important, and most common cause of death in these is cardiac problem, acquired heart disease, all right. So it consists of 5 things, 5 features. That is, out of all these things, important is fever. Fever should be more than 5 days of duration, at least 5 days of duration. Apart from this, you should have crash signs. What is crash signs? One is conjunctivitis, C for conjunctivitis, and it should be non-exudative. R for rash, alright, it's going to be rash, okay. And these are the rashes are generally, when I talk about rashes, they are desquamative rashes or peeling of skin, right? This is the thing. Okay, and when I talk about other things, it is lymphadenopathy and strawberry tongue, and other thing is perianal erythema. Alright, perianal erythema and rashes. So all these things are present in these particular patients. So the treatment which we are going to see is IVIG with long-term aspirin prophylaxis, because these patients are very at the impending risk of any sort of vessels aneurysm, coronary aneurysm importantly, and rupture, which might lead to MI and cause of death. Okay, that's the thing. So prognosis is very favorable, but long-term aspirin prophylaxis or prophylaxis is to be taken care of. And ulinastatin is one of the new drugs which can be tried in Kawasaki, right? Now let's talk about PAN, that is polyarteritis nodosa. Okay, it is something which is very important and associated with hepatitis B infection. It involves 30 to 50 years of age. Okay, it is an immune mediated response which is fibrinoid necrosis. Alright, it is an immune mediated or immune complex response, right? That means there was a certain immune complexes because of any underlying disease, and these complexes got lodged in these vessels, causing this problem. Okay, so that's the point. So when I talk about this particular thing, it involves the circulation, amazingly, but more importantly, it spares the pulmonary circulation. Like, look at the partiality it's doing or the disparity is doing. It involves the pulmonary circulation but involves the bronchial arteries, point number one. Point number two, it involves the renal circulation, but which will show hematuria as well, but there will be no signs, I'm repeating again, no signs of glomerulonephritis, all right, associated with hepatitis B. Mononeuritis multiplex is also seen, that is very asymmetrically, and otherwise if I talk symmetrical and most common cause, it's going to be diabetes mellitus. Okay, and microaneurysm formation in the kidney, that is the main cause of hematuria. Okay, and Raynaud's phenomenon is something very important which we should not miss, and these are the features which we will see in polyarteritis nodosa. Okay, that is systemic necrotizing vasculitis. Okay, so that's the thing. The patient might also show with joint arthralgia, abdominal pain. That's the thing. Patient might have digital gangrene and all these things. Okay, so these are one of the important signs which we can see on polyarthritis nodosa. Other thing is microscopic polyangiitis. Before 1999, microscopic polyangiitis indeed was a part of polyarthritis nodosa, but we are going to discuss it in a very different aspect, not here. So it's just for your information. Okay, now let's talk about Wegener's granulomatosis. Wegener's granulomatosis, remember this word. When I talk about Wegener's, when I talk about Wegener's, I just want you to remember this word, that is syncopharyngitic hematuria. Wegener's is a very important cause of syncopharyngitic hematuria, apart from PSGN, which we can see, PSGN, IgA, that is okay. But when I talk about syncopharyngitic hematuria, Wegener's is also a very important cause. All right, it is chronic granulomatous condition. Okay, it involves areas with good capillarity. It involves three important organs, that is renal, pulmonary, eyes. When I talk about pulmonary, it has two major involvement, that is sinus, so that is nasal sinusitis, upper respiratory tract infection, as well as lungs. In lungs, it's very notorious, so it causes multiple thin walled cavities, hemorrhages, and bilateral abscesses. When I talk about upper respiratory tract infection, it causes nasal bridge deformity, subglottic stenosis, and sinusitis. Okay, when I talk about eyes, it causes panuveitis, purpuric rash, etc., etc. Okay, so when during serology, it's ANCA positive. Okay, it is ANCA positive. So one of them is C ANCA, other one is P ANCA. So C ANCA is PR3 positive, and P ANCA is MPO positive. Okay, but that absence does not rule out Wegener's granulomatosis. The best test is lung biopsy, which can diagnose it. Okay. So treatment is cyclophosphamide. For chronic treatment, we can give methotrexate. Let's talk about Churg-Strauss. Churg-Strauss, it is eosinophilia with granulomatosis. Now, this is something which I want you to take care of. That is, one is Churg-Strauss, another one is microscopic polyangiitis, right? Which I said that we'll discuss later. Okay, so when I talk about microscopic polyangiitis and Churg-Strauss, these are one of the very same sort of conditions, and they happened due to any underlying cause. Let's put them together parallelly and discuss something about them. When I talk about microscopic polyangiitis, it has a high propensity to involve the areas with good capillarity. So if this is the cause or this is the reason, what we are going to see? We are going to see a huge involvement of lungs as well as the involvement of kidney, right? Also, it is an acute stage thing. So when it is an acute stage thing, the renal might show some acute symptoms, some rapid symptoms like RPGM, right? So this is something which we can see in microscopic polyangiitis. When we go to the biopsy thing, what we are going to see is many sort of neutrophils. Neutrophils, what does neutrophils presence justifies? It shows that it is sort of an acute process. And if it is an acute process, are we going to see any sort of granuloma? No, not at all. We are not going to see any sort of granuloma. Okay, so these are some clinching things which we can see with the microscopic polyangiitis. On the other hand, when I discuss about Churg-Strauss, it mainly involves the allergic responses, allergic asthma and all that thing. All right, apart from this allergic asthma and all, what else we can see is the drug intake like montelukast. It is one of the implicated drugs for Churg-Strauss syndrome. So what happens is, the vasculitis zone, when we see it on a biopsy, we are going to see numerous eosinophils. So when it is an eosinophil, it is an allergic cause. When it is allergic cause, it's going to be chronic, and when it's going to be chronic, it has to be granulomatous. All right, it has to be granulomatous. So it will involve pulmonary, it will involve renal, it will involve skin. Okay, in renal thing, what we can see is the patient might have RPGN. They might also land in, apart from RPGN, they can also land in FSGS. That means FSGS is a thing which is also seen in these patients. But when I talk about RPGN, it is more common in renal site, right? It is very, very, very common in renal site. This is something really important we should remember. So we have discussed almost all of the things that was important for us. Now let's talk about the last, that is essential mixed cryoglobulinemia. So what is cryoglobulinemia? Let me talk about this. Cryoglobulinemia is nothing but the collection of antibodies or the immunoglobulins in the serum. And why they are happening? Because of any underlying cause, for example, hematological disorders or any sort of rheumatological disorders. Okay, so what happens is these antibodies are present in our body, in our serum, but as the temperature falls, these antibodies or proteins starts to precipitate. As they start to precipitate, they start causing the problem. Okay, so that can cause a problem. For example, tubular necrosis in kidneys, skin capillaries might show necrosis and all that thing. But when I talk about the classification, there are two types of classification. That is, one is monoclonal and the other is mixed. When I talk about monoclonal, that can be because of any sort of tumor or any sort of pathology or malignancy. For example, hematological malignancy, like multiple myeloma, that is monoclonal. But when it is mixed, it's going to be like mono and polyclonal both. Due to immune complexes, they can cause vasculitis, infection can cause systemic disorders, and one of the very important implicated cause behind this is hepatitis C virus or hepatitis C infection. So what, where did we see hepatitis B? In PAN, that is polyarteritis nodosa. And where did we see hepatitis C? In cryoglobulinemia. C for hepatitis, hepatitis C virus, and C for cryoglobulinemia. So it was a very short, concise video on vasculitis. Now, what are we going to do is, what all we have read, we are going to implicate each and every single reading in below the heading of what we have discussed, right? One more thing I wanted to tell you, I just forgot, that is P-ANCA and C-ANCA, all right? C-ANCA, it is majorly seen in beginners, but the P-ANCA, it is seen in two cases, microscopic polyangiitis and Churg-Strauss, all right? This is the thing, this is also one of the differences which we forgot to mark. Okay, so let's talk about classification. First is on the basis of size. Size is large, medium and small. When I talk about large is giant cell arteritis and Takayasu arteritis. These are large, okay. When I talk about medium, it is PAN, that is polyarteritis nodosa and Kawasaki, okay. When I talk about small consists of depending on the basis of ANCA. When it is ANCA positive, there are three things, that is Wegener's, that is for C-ANCA. For P-ANCA, it is microscopic polyangiitis and Churg-Strauss. Remember, Wegener's is positive for both, but it is more positive for C-ANCA. And for non-hematological or non-ANCA things, we have Hennox-Schönlein purpura, hypersensitivity, cryoglobulinemia and Behçet's disease, right? That's going to be the thing. Now, that's all for today. I hope you love this session. It was short, concise, and I would love to know if any sort of other thing you want to know, any sort of topic, just tag me or just give me a DM on my Instagram handle. Thank you everyone, and I just wish every one of you that everybody becomes a great doctor, and good luck for your preparation. Thank you.